Get ready for real time, prime time, big time, show time. It's edible honesty time. And in the meantime, get ready for your favorite partner in crime, your host, one of the greatest talkers of all time, the king of edible honesty, and the eighth wonder of the world, Andrew the Giant.
Hey, hey, my, hot, rockin' biblical fruit pie. Let's get down and talk about the ins and outs of the food industry. My name is Andrew. I'm your host, and I am ready to rock, so let's cut right into it because today we will be readjusting almost everything you thought you knew about food. And for today's extra tasty episode, I will be using the lyrics of Metallica, the Charlie Daniels Band, Kiss, The Who, The Doors, Elton John, Supertramp, Chance the Rapper, Britney Spears, and the Five Man Electric Band to discuss the first contract God struck with mankind, and it's still legally binding today, and we are in serious breach of that contract, and the repercussions are coming, because it's a new Mother Nature taking over. She's getting us all. So pass the beer nuts, Hillary Norman Peterson, and let's get right into today's extra tasty episode. No sugar tonight in my coffee. No sugar tonight in my tea. Ooh, ooh. Now, I'm not sure when or where our compulsive need to destroy nature and all of her gifts and resources came from. Oops, I did it again. But it seems to have started right away in the beginning. So here's the problem. You can take a stand or you can compromise, but you don't start living till you realize. In the beginning, God created the Garden of Eden, and then God created Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve got to eat whatever they wanted from the tree of life. And they're part of the bargain as inhabitants of Earth was to take care of the garden by making certain that there would always be fruits aplenty. But the devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. Now, to be clear, Adam and Eve were not hanging out in the Garden of Eden, quite the contrary, because Adam and Eve were the help. Without so much as being hired, rather, they were contractually obligated to be the help. And for $0, they literally worked for peanuts. Sure, they were mostly treated well. And Adam and Eve did eat like God, with God, and every single night. But despite what people want to believe, Adam and Eve were at best God's gardeners. And Elton John said it best. Who lived here? He must have been a gardener that cared a lot, who weeded out the tears and grew a good crop. And for God, Eden was paradise truly. But for Adam and Eve, it was hard work every day with the weeding and the weeding and the weeding. So excuse me while I light this spliff, spliff. Ooh, ooh. Adam and Eve had a really big job to do. Not only were they responsible for managing the Garden of Eden, but they were also responsible for expanding the Garden of Eden, because even though the Garden of Eden was paradise, there were only two trees there. There was lots and lots and lots of real estate to develop, like 5,700 square miles of land to be developed. And that development fell right on the shoulders of Adam and Eve, and it's quite possible they would have succeeded in completing this Herculean task if they had only called out his name. Hercules, Hercules, Hercules. Unbeknownst to almost everyone, God stretched the Garden of Eden across nearly 5,800 square miles, and he built the Garden of Eden solely to serve as an example. God developed under 100 square miles. The rest was entirely up to Adam and Eve, and they were contractually obligated to do so. And 5,800 square miles is a tremendous amount of land. Let me put it in perspective. In the United States of America, the entire state of Delaware is only 2,489 square miles. And the entire state of Connecticut is only 5,543 square miles. The Garden of Eden was 5,800 square miles, which makes the Garden of Eden not a garden at all. Rather, Eden was a country. It was an extremely large region. Eden was bigger than two American states and larger than well over 70 countries and dependencies, including Hong Kong, Singapore, Brunei, Lebanon, Qatar, Jamaica, Puerto Rico, Palestine, Lebanon, Bahrain, Grenada, and the Bahamas. And we all know it's better in the Bahamas. Adam and Eve literally needed a spaceship to travel around Eden if they had any hope of fulfilling their contractual obligation to God. Adam and Eve contractually had to fill in and finish the Garden of Eden, roughly a remaining 5,700 square miles worth. Adam and Eve were God's unpaid day laborers, and they had to labor from dusk till dawn every day. The Tree of Life, Tree 1, was filled with magical fruits. Beans, the magical fruits. And these magical fruits gifted immortality to whoever ate them. The more you eat, the more you toot. And God and Adam and Eve ate like a family from the Tree of Life together every night. Adam and Eve were eating fruits directly from the Tree of Life, and Adam and Eve were gods so long as they lived in the garden, and as long as they continued to remain in Eden and eat fruit directly from the Tree of Life, they would be forever young. I want to be forever young. Ooh. Ooh. Now, Tree 2. The other tree, the tree of knowledge, was the only other tree in all of the Garden of Eden. However, Adam and Eve were forbidden to touch the tree of knowledge, biblical fact, let alone eat the fruit. Adam and Eve had VIP to half the Garden of Eden. They could not touch Tree 2, but they could look. Not to touch the earth, not to touch the sun. Nothing left to do but run, run, run. Let's run. Ooh, ooh. Adam and Eve had to work an area of land larger than the entire state of Connecticut. That was the deal. God created Eden, but God handed the job of maintaining and expanding the Garden of Eden over to Adam and Eve, and he made them contractually obligated that they would keep the garden under control by forever preventing chaotic conditions from spoiling the earth and rendering the earth useless. And I'd call that a bargain, the best I ever had. Ooh, ooh. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve contractually obligated mankind to keep the garden under control. And you know what? We blew that big time. Over 90% of the fruits and vegetables that were here on Earth are gone. And you know what? We exterminated them. And God is pissed. Regarding the other obligation, the whole prevent chaotic conditions from spoiling the earth and rendering the earth useless, that clause, well, we poo-pooed all over that one, and God is super pissed. And when God is super pissed, biblical famine follows. Here's the problem. Here is the problem. We forgot about it a long time ago. We forgot whether we live or whether we die of biblical starvation is up to us, because when the praises go up, the blessings come down, meaning everything depends on how we treat or mistreat the earth. That's the deal that was made with God a long, long time ago, Marty, and while we forgot all about it, McFly, God has not. Blistering of earth terminates its worth never seen before, breathing never more. Now, I don't fear God. I fear his believers, Stephen Hawking. That being said, if anyone has read the Bible, there are 10 separate biblical global famine periods, and they occur over a 2,000-year time period. Now, I am not a mathematician, but I did pass basic division. So 2,000 divided by 10 equals 200. And assuming my calculation is correct, that means a biblical famine occurs every 200 years or so. So, what's a biblical famine? We'll find out after a brief word from our sponsor, JR Organics. I want to tell you about JR Organics in Escondido, California. It is my favorite farm in America, and Goyo is the farmer that runs it. And Goyo is known worldwide as the watermelon whisperer. And when the watermelon whisperer puts anything in the earth responds. It becomes electrified. Goyo is the very first farmer in the world to farm edible electricity, and he's got available for you right now if you're in Escondido, California, San Diego, Los Angeles, Orange County, California. Get yourself 5 boxes of edible electricity every week, or get yourself 8, 9, 10 every 2 weeks. Whatever you do, make sure that you fill your body with the number one food on the planet, edible electricity. And Goyo's got it for you over at JR Organics in Escondido. So that's it. That is a wrap on part one of the edible biblical contract. But get ready to tune into part two, because it's launching tonight at midnight. And you know what? Just like Dickie V, it's gonna be awesome, baby! My name is Andrew. I thank you so much for listening. And to all my fans, to all my new fans out there in Malta, I'm coming, baby. I want to spend all my winters out there. And an enormous, edible shout-out to Bert Ward, the best Robin ever. And Bert, come on, let's do it. Let's talk about food fit for a superhero. And I've been getting all your emails and your comments, and thank you. And don't stop writing me over at info@ediblehonesty.com. And no, I'm not signed by any media outlet yet, but History Channel, Food Network, Cooking Channel, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, Foodable, Martha Stewart, I'm available. So get in contact with me and let's work out a deal and get Edible Honesty what it deserves, a syndicated platform. So get ready to tune in for the next episode for more Edible Honesty, same edible time, same edible station.